Pastor Ryan. We will be praying for you. And during my teaching career, when I was actively doing that, I took two sabbaticals over the years, and they were just great times of refreshing and renewal. So we will remember to pray for you and your refreshment and your renewal. So, well, we've been in a series leading up to Christmas called The Thrill of Hope. And this is certainly a great time of the year to talk about hope with Christmas coming on. And, you know, we look forward to celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior, because Jesus is the hope of the nations. He is the only true hope of the world. And we just sang, Dana led us so beautifully, and he is our risen hope. He is our risen hope. So the little baby that came into the manger, that little child, was the Son of God. And he released eternal hope into the world, that beautiful hope that all who believe in him enjoy. So today, we're going to be looking at hope, the subject of hope. And what is hope? Where does hope come from? And how does worldly hope differ from heavenly hope, the hope that God gives us? Because there's quite a difference between worldly hope and godly hope. Hope is a rather a mystery to most people. You know, Paul said that there's faith and hope and love, and we have an idea certainly what faith is, belief, and what love is, loving God and loving others. But hope tends to be somewhat of a mystery to many people, a shadowy mystery. And I hope today that we can clear that up a little bit and give you a better idea about what the Bible means by hope. Now, one thing is for certain, one thing I think no one would doubt, is the importance of hope. It is absolutely necessary to life and to survival. I read recently that someone said, you can live 3 or 4 weeks without food, maybe 5 or 6 weeks if you're good at fasting. You can live 3 or 4 days without water. You can live a minute or two or three without air. But you can't even live a few seconds without hope. We live on hope. We might not think about it too much, but if you're of a positive frame of mind, it's because you're always hoping for something. You're thinking something's going to work out well, something's good going to happen. We have that hope just built into us. It almost seems as a necessary part of our survival. The lowest place a person can get to is a place called hopelessness. When a person drifts into hopelessness, it's a terrible state to be in. Not anything lower than I can think of than hopelessness. And yet, for those who know Jesus, we never have to get to that place. We never have to enter hopelessness, because in him, there is always, always hope. So I want to start with a question, where does hope come from? And then a little bit later, we're going to talk about exactly what hope is. I think when we find out where hope comes from, it'll dispel some of the myths about hope right away. True hope, authentic hope, real hope, comes to us as a gift from God, a gift from him to us. Now, I was so glad when I learned this, you know, a number of years ago when I started to think this way. You know, I ran around most of my life trying to muster up hope. If I could just, you know, hope in this or believe in that or have hope for this to get better. But I found that my hopes produced very little. You know, it wasn't until that I saw that hope is a gift that comes from my Father in heaven to me that it really did begin to change my life and my view of life. True hope, real hope, is a gift from God. And we can thank him for it, and we should thank him for it. And we can ask him for more of it, that he would give more hope to us. Look at a few scriptures. The first one is Psalm 62:5. My soul waits in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. You know, where does hope come from? It comes from God. The psalmist doesn't say, you know, my hope comes from inside me, or it's something I had to work up on my own, but my hope comes from God. You know, God infuses his hope into us. And once we receive his hope and begin to grow in his hope, you know, we never need to enter into hopelessness ever. You know, and this is no small point. I want you really to catch this, that when we realize that hope comes from us, or excuse me, comes down from God to us, it can change your whole outlook on life. Because you'll stop frustrating yourself trying to work up your own hope and call on God for the hope that he has to give you. You know, also, I believe when we see hope as another one of those myriad gifts that God gives us, we'll have a greater appreciation and love for our God and love for our Father in heaven. He's just so good to us in so many ways. Another scripture, one of Paul's great prayers, talks about hope. This is Romans 15:13. Paul says, actually I should say Paul prays, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of God's names is the God of hope, and we can call him the God of hope. We can refer to our God that way. And you might even pray that way, you know, using his name. You know, pray as so. Lord, you are my God of hope. Increase my hope. Might my hope by your grace ever be expanding. Lord, allow me to overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's great to pray that way. We call that praying the Word of God. And I'm not sure if you know that or do that yet, but taking scriptures and actually praying them out is a very, very powerful way to pray, praying God's word back to him. You know, we're asking him to take his gift of hope and deposit it in us more richly. You know, it's that hope that he gives us that really leads to joy and to peace. You know, we have joy and peace because we first have hope. You know, I was thinking about this. We always have a choice in life. You know, in life, you know, in everything we have a choice. And we know that we live in a very dark world, a darkening world. From when I grew up, and I honestly don't know how much darker the world can get from how it is today. I wonder why the Lord isn't coming back, or how can he not come back soon because of the darkness of this world. And you know, I just read about the increase in crime, and a crime that's grown 25% in the last 2 years. I was in the radio, you know, in the car the other day, and listened to the radio, and the guy came on, and he was talking about this new crime that's sweeping the nation, and it's called porch piracy. Porch piracy. Have you heard of porch piracy? All right. Okay. Well, what it is when you order your nice gift from Amazon, and it comes up to your door, and there's the package sitting there, and somebody runs up and walks away with it. Okay, porch piracy, stealing something from your doorstep. And it is growing far more than a lot of other crimes out there. They even interviewed some porch pirates. I saw this interview on TV with a porch pirate. Of course, they blanked their faces out, but they got this porch pirate lady there, and she said, "It's a hard way to make a living." A living? Are you kidding me? And she says, "Yeah, sometimes you pick up a heavy package and you think you're bringing home a $600-$700 computer, and you get home and you find out you got some kid's rock collection." So, you know, I felt so sorry for her. Not at all. I felt, Lord, get a hold of that woman and redeem her. You know, she shouldn't be making her living by stealing, by porch piracy. So, that's just a small example, not humorous if you have something stolen from you, I'm sure, but the darkness of the world that surrounds us. And, you know, we need to realize that and avoid the darkness of the world. You know, the things that we can drift into, the wrong TV, the wrong movies, too much of watching news, all the stuff you pick up on the news. It will definitely you know, rob you of some of your joy and your hope and your peace. So be careful where you put your ears and be careful where you put your eyes. You know, no wonder there's so many hopeless people, you know, feeding on the wrong things. But if you feed on God, if you feed on His Word, if you feed on, you know, fellowship and worship and church and feed on the presence of Jesus, you know, your hope, your peace, your joy will grow. And, you know, I've found hope to be kind of a slow grow. It doesn't all happen at once, but over time, hope grows. It's like, you know, when you throw some tomato seeds out in your yard and you don't expect to come out next day and say, oh, look, there's a tomato plant. It takes a while. It takes some watering and some time goes by, and you know, maybe by July or August, if you get your seeds in early enough, you'll have some nice sized tomato plants and some tomatoes. Well, hope's that way. It's kind of a slow grow. But as we move closer to God, we'll see that growth of hope in our lives. A very interesting scripture in the book of Job, Job 8:13. Job, considered by most scholars to be the oldest book of the Bible ever written. A lot of wisdom in the book of Job. And you may know that when Job lost everything, some of his friends gathered around him to try to encourage him. And most of their advice wasn't really too good. But every once in a while, they come up with a real zinger. And I thought this was one of those. One of Job's friends said, "Those who forget God have no hope. Those who forget God have no hope." Very, very true. People who do not know God, you know, who do not want to know God, you know, those who believe there is no God, they lack hope. They don't have hope. You know, what do they have? It's just like the further you get from God, you know, you back up, or people back up from God and they get away from Him, no hope. Fortunately, the opposite is true too. As we move towards God, the closer we press into Him, the greater our hope will grow. As we, you know, close in on God and seek Him. So we know that hope, authentic hope, is a gift from God. You know, pray for it. Ask for an expansion of your hope. You know, what I want to do, let's see. I want to pray that scripture I used before over us right now. I felt led to do this, and you know, I'm just going to ask to bless you at this time by praying that last scripture, the before scripture after you, about the God of hope. Just receive this from the Lord. May the God of hope fill each one of you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Yeah, receive that. Receive that hope today. So what exactly is hope, this gift of hope from God? Here's a definition that I like. We'll put that definition up on the screen. You might want to write it down. I think it's one of the best definitions of hope I've seen. Godly hope is the certain anticipation and the certain expectation that God will bring about His goodness in your future. Think about it. Godly hope is the certain anticipation and the certain expectation that God will bring about His goodness in your future. There's no maybe about godly hope. There's no uncertainty about godly hope. You know, it's not at all like worldly hope. Most of us were raised with worldly hope, and I think you know what worldly hope is. So we call it wishing, and it has no basis in reality. It's you know, like Jiminy Cricket used to sing, "When you wish upon a star," you know. Well, yeah, maybe I should join the. No, not that good. I hear Dana sing. I'm not dare going to get up there. You know, when you wish upon a star, you might find a 2-foot cigar or something. I don't know how the rest of it goes, so I just made that up. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know the rest of the words of that song. But, you know, just living in this world, we can't avoid being kind of doused by worldly hope. You know, just maybe things will work out. Oh, I hope, you know. And usually those things don't work out too well. I remember when I was in school, a little while ago, I was young, and the teacher would say there'd be a test the next day. We're going to be testing on something she was teaching. And I thought, yeah, I really should study for that test. But I, no, you know what? First I'll go outside and run up and down the street and play football with my friends. And then I'll come in, maybe I'll watch some of my old favorite shows on TV. I remember Ramar the Jungle. This was when TV first came out. Shows how old I am. The early 1950s. Yeah. Oh, we got a TV. How does it work? It was like, yeah, but that's the truth. Yeah, yeah, my grandkids think I'm so old. Anyway, but I would not get around to studying for the test. And the next day, I knew there was a test. And I would hope maybe the teacher would be out. I would hope maybe she'd put the test off. You know, and I would hope it would be a multiple choice test. Because then at least I could maybe get the right answer. And I look at that test, the A, B, C, D. Oh, I hope it's C. And I circle the C, and the test would come back. And I didn't get A, B, C, or D. I got F, you know? See, my hope didn't pan out. That kind of hope just goes nowhere. So, yeah, but another thing in our world that's activated by hope, false hope, and it's massive, is the gambling industry. The gambling industry, right? I was curious about that. I wonder how much money people actually gamble during a year. So I looked it up, and I was shocked to find out what it was, right? Sports gambling alone, they estimate between $250 billion and $400 billion a year just on sports gambling. You know? That's not counting the lotteries and the illegal gambling and the casinos and everything else. So, and based on a total false hope of you winning something. They said the chances of you winning something in one of those giant lotteries, that you have more chance of going out in your backyard and standing here and getting struck by lightning. You know? Someone else said that you have more chance of getting selected to be the next astronaut to fly to the moon, right, than to win one of those lotteries. So don't waste your money. What good could we do with those billions of dollars if it wasn't wasted on gambling, which is a false hope? By contrast, godly hope, the hope that God gives us, is not uncertain at all. You know, it isn't just a maybe. It's a certain hope. It is the certain anticipation, the certain expectation that God will bring about his goodness in your future. And it's rock solid. The Bible, you know, why godly hope works is because it's based on the promises of God and the character of God, on the God who cannot lie. You know? In the Bible, there are over 7,000 promises. And we can be certain because they're God's promises. We can be confident because they're God's promises. I want to show one little scripture to you because it really focuses on our salvation. This is Hebrews 6:19, the salvation scripture. And it says, the certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. The certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This tells us that for the believer, those who come to Christ, you know, our salvation, it's a done deal. It's certain. And we can never lose our salvation or lose our hope in it. You know, to those who know Christ, you know, we have no doubt whatsoever about our salvation. We know that we've been forgiven. Our sins have been wiped clean. Such a beautiful thing when a person comes to salvation in Christ to know that, you know, all the wickedness of their past life or present life or even future, which I hope isn't the case, is forgiven by Jesus Christ. We know that one day we'll see him face to face. When I close my eyes and leave this earth, I know that I will immediately see Jesus. Immediately see him. And you know, what's that? To be separated from the body is to be present with Christ, right? Present with Christ. So we have that hope, and it anchors our souls. It anchors our souls. It anchors our mind, our will, and our emotions. You know, I can't even entertain the thought of going into the grave and that being the end of my existence. That's impossible. I can't even enter that thought. I know that when I go into the grave, you know, my spirit will be immediately in the presence of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I will be enjoying the joy of eternal presence with him and the joy of the place that he's going to prepare for me, heaven. What a place. The place that we can't even imagine how great it's going to be. That's what he's told us. So, what a precious gift God's given us in hope. And pray for it. Ask for it. Ask for more of it. Final point I want to go into a little bit here. I'm going to show you in a video in a second. And that has to do with faith, because sometimes people get the two a little confused. Isn't hope a lot like faith? Well, yeah, they are a lot alike, but there are some key differences. Hebrews tells us that faith is the reality or the substance of things we hope for. So first comes hope. First, God puts a hope in your heart. He, you know, gives a word to you or a message or a vision, and you start to hope for something. And that's pretty good. Wonder where that came from. Well, most likely came from the Lord if it's a good thing. Okay? And we start to hope, and then we add faith to that. Yeah, we add faith to it. And God will give you the faith too. You know, he'll give you the faith to add to your hope, and you put the two together, and boy, then you're really really going to town when you add faith to hope and you start moving. So this little video clip I want to show you, I actually used it here in church 8 or 9 years ago when I taught on hope. And it's the story of a woman named Gladys Aylworth. Gladys Aylworth. And she was, you may know, a very famous missionary to China. And she went to China in the early 1900s. And it was not easy for her to get there at all. Gladys had a really hard time getting here. She was a poor English schoolgirl. She grew up with very little education. And she worked as a domestic servant, a housemaid. She was saved. And at the age of 18, she went to hear a missionary. And he was talking about how there were millions and millions of people in China who never heard of Jesus. And she thought, you know, man, that's terrible. And God laid it on Gladys' heart to go to China and be a missionary. So she engaged this missionary society, a very famous missionary society, the China Inland Mission. And she studied under them for like 3 years. And at the end, she had a hard time with studies. She did not pass the final exam, and they would not accept her. And in this little clip we're going to show you, you'll see that Gladys goes in and she discovers that they will not send her to China, that she just doesn't qualify. And she says, well, you know what? God put this hope in my heart, and I am not going to let it die. So she starts to figure out a way to make her own way to China, which she eventually does. But let's let me put some of the lights out so we can see the screen a little better. We'll look at a few minutes of this this film. The end of the sixth happiness, and if you've never seen it, or if you haven't seen it in a few years, I would recommend it. It's a beautiful older movie. Ingrid Bergman, great, humorous in parts and adventurous in parts. It's quite a story. So you can see, there is where hope meets faith. Very clear, hope meets faith. And the God of all hope, you know, he'll give us the faith. He will give us the faith to activate our hopes, you know, as we look towards him to do that. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. We'll close in prayer. Yeah. You know, what hope has God placed in your heart today? You know, do you have a hope, you know, for yourself? Something God's delivered to you heart to your heart? Do you have a hope for another person, someone in your family? Yeah. I believe it's a hope that God's placed there. A certain hope. He wants it to be a certain hope. Lord, we ask you to add to our today, add to our hope, confidence, and certainty that you will complete what you have started, that you will complete what you and your will have purposed, that you will bring about your good future for all of us. Show us, Lord, how to step out in hope. Show us how to step out in faith where you need us to, and give us the assigned time and the assigned place and the assigned whereabouts to do so. Lord, fill us with your certain hope today. We ask you to do this, Father, in Jesus' name. Yeah. We want to see all of our hopes completed, Lord. And we want to give you the glory when you move in these areas of our lives. And we know that you will. And we know that you will be glorified by answering our prayers. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There's a handout that you should have received. Did people get a handout on hope? Okay, good. Yeah, there's good scriptures there that you could take with you and pray over this week. Good scriptures to read. Yeah, so go and be hopeful. Amen.